Matthew chapter 6 is where we find our text this afternoon, but we'll also read in the back of our Psalter hymnals from Lord's Day 50. As a congregation, we have been working our way through the Lord's Prayer together. We have come up to the fourth request, or the fourth petition, which is, "Give us this day our daily bread." And the title of our sermon is, "Our Daily Bread, Upon Whom Do We Find Our Help?" So we're going to read from Matthew chapter 6, and we're going to read verses 25 through 34. That's page 938 in the Pew Bibles. Matthew chapter 6, starting at verse 25, and reading to the end of the chapter. Matthew 6, verse 25, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Who of you by worrying can add a single hour to his life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow. They do not labor or spin, yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, 'What shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear?' For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own." That's as far as reading from Matthew. Then I invite you to turn, keeping your Bibles open, but turn in the back of your Psalter hymnals to Lord's Day 50. Which is page 62. Question and answer 125 asks, "What does the fourth request mean?" The answer is, "Give us this day our daily bread" means, do take care of all our physical needs so that we come to know that you are the only source of everything good, and that neither our work and worry nor your gifts can do us any good without your blessing. And so help us to give up our trust in creatures and to put trust in you alone. That's as far as reading together. Congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, when I started working on this sermon, the one that I'm giving right now, was early on Wednesday morning. And Tuesday night, I went to bed a little late, as perhaps you did, staying up late watching the election results. And as I turned to my computer Wednesday morning, my inbox or my screen was flooded with woe, with doom, with worry. Evidently, having a new president-elect would mean that our stock market was going to crash. The trading overseas was going to come to a standstill. Everything that we bought was going to become more expensive. Our country was going to fall into an immediate recession. Everything was falling apart. What struck me was that in preparing a sermon for "Give Us This Day Our Daily Bread," and you look around us and you look and you read the news, how much fear there is in this world in which we live. So much fear of what could change, what could possibly happen. So much doom and gloom because we think as men that we hold everything in our hands, that we are ultimately in control of everything. Now, whether or not our future president will have any effect on our economy, I have no idea. But what I do know is this, that God is still God. And he is still our Father, and as our Father, we can come to him as children in this prayer and with our lives, coming to him and praying, "O Lord, our Father, grant to me each day what I need. Grant to me all things necessary for body, so that I come to know you as the only source of everything good." We come to our faithful Father coming as children, and we know as that parable Jesus gave us, if our children come to us and ask for bread, we're not going to give our children a stone. If our children come to us asking for a piece of fish, we're not going to give them a snake. How much more our perfect and loving Heavenly Father will not give us all things that we need. Even as Jesus said, blessed is the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who are humble of heart, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. So we pray as a congregation, we pray as individuals, but also as a church. Lord, give us this day our daily bread, because the fact of the matter is we are needy people. We need a whole host of things each day. We need to eat, we need shelter, we need clothing, we need strength to do the work, we need air to breathe, we need space to live, we need our bodies to function. But who will provide us with all these things? Really, it's a question of life. It's a question of who will give us what we need so that we can live. When the bills start to come, perhaps you know that feeling. You open your mailbox and you see a stack of bills in there, medical bills or Christian education, and you have bills for your house or bills for your food, and you see the stack of bills there, and the pressing question is, who is going to meet our needs? Where can we go? In whom can we trust to give us each day? Well, we start this sermon by looking at the one whom we cannot trust, the unreliable source of our daily bread, the wrong place to look. And the wrong place to look is the hands of men. I can give you just one example. If my family depended on my green thumb in order to have their daily needs met, they would be a pretty hungry bunch. Perhaps you know that as well. You plant seeds and you hope they grow, and sometimes the frost comes late or it comes early and it kills everything. What do you do? We have needs. Who is going to meet it? Well, not my hand, not your hand. I cannot provide food, I cannot provide sustenance for myself, let alone anyone else. Think for a moment how dependent we are. How much food can we raise by our own hands? How about our own house? Who built it? Who provides the lumber? Your car, where was it made? Your clothing, where did it come from? All these things not only come from others, but ultimately they come from God, don't they? Ultimately, anything that we have, everything that we eat, everything that we see, is a product of God's sustaining and blessing hand. It doesn't take long to see that as individuals, we are part of a larger community. We are all dependent together. But even if we take the massing together of the entire human race, can we as a human body, as the group, can we truly provide anything? Can we cause the sun to shine? Can we make the rain to fall? Can we cause the seed to sprout? No, we can't. And even if we would try to somehow go completely off the grid, to become completely self-sufficient, it's an illusion. Because apart from the grace of God, we could not even breathe, much less could we be provided for. We do not have the power to make food, nor do we have the power to make food a blessing for us. We cannot cause food to grow, food to be produced. And even if we could cause food to produce, we do not have the ability to make that food a blessing to us. Even if we could, by some miracle, by some power, make food all by ourselves. If you would take a piece of bread and put it in your mouth and chew it and swallow it into your belly, what happens then? As that food enters you and becomes a part of your being, is it by your strength, by your wisdom, that you cause that food to be turned into sugars and starch and protein and amino acids that cause strength and vitality? No. There is no one here who has the strength, no man, no wisdom. We are but vapor. We are but mist. We are all so close to collapse. One sickness, one famine, one accident. Our life is over. We're fragile. Just as easy as we can find, we can also lose, even riches. Scripture in various places talks about the uncertainty of riches. It can grow wings and fly away. We can store up and assume that since we have a healthy job and good health insurance and money in the bank, that we'll be good. But then we think of the man who had an abundant crop and he built barns. He said to himself, "My soul be at rest. I have everything I need." The Lord said to him, "Tonight I require your soul." There is nothing that we can do. All the help that man can muster cannot sustain us. As we read earlier in Psalm 20, some may trust in horses and chariots. Some may depend on man's collective wisdom, their own knowledge. But these things cannot guarantee and they cannot provide. There is no human leader or power that be that can guarantee the production of food, the benefit of that food to you, the sustenance of your body, keeping you from sickness, giving you even the ability to eat. The world's greatest minds and most advanced healthcare cannot stop the ball of time rolling and the decay of flesh. This is so important for us to remember, living in such a blessed and such a privileged society. And particularly with our modern health care and all the various government programs that we have surrounding us, we can begin to fall into the trap of thinking, well, if I just give it enough time, enough money, the government will figure it out. Somehow the health care system is going to have a solution to whatever sickness may arise within me. But just take for one moment the government programs. Can government programs really provide for us as a people? Some of the research I was doing this past week, almost 50% of Americans receive some form of aid from the government. That's 50%, one out of two. Medicare, Social Security, Medicaid, food stamps, all of them, assisted housing, add them all together, approximately half of all Americans live on some dependence on the U.S. government. What that has caused to happen among the American psyche is that the government has become our surrogate parent. No longer do we trust in God to provide, we trust in the government to provide. Feeding our kids in schools, taking care of us when we are old. As Christians, this is one area we must be on high alert. There is no amount of government oversight or handout or tax returns that will make my life better, that will make my body stronger, that will allow me to live one moment longer. Isn't that what the Catechism says? Isn't that what our Scripture says? Why do you worry about what you eat or drink? Are you able by worrying to add, this is verse 27, 6 for 27, are you able to add a single hour to your life? As human beings, this is simply beyond our power. Question and answer 125 says, our work and our worry, even the blessings, even the gifts from God's hand, do us no good without God's blessing. The government can only distribute what, in fact, belongs to God. And even if they do distribute to us, will not benefit us unless God would bless it. For without God's strength, we can neither move nor be moved. God has the power to but blow upon this land and cause the supply of bread to be broken. We are at the mercy of our God, at the pleasure of his good care. So, if, as the psalm says, some trust in horses and chariots, some may trust in government programs or the wisdom of men, if these, as Scripture says, are not worthy of our dependence, in whom shall we trust? Well, one of the things that the Israelites had to learn early on in their Exodus was that God was dependable every day. Every day the Israelites had to wake up, they had to go out and they had to look on the ground and they had to find those little wafers of manna, that little heavenly bread. Every single day God was teaching them. It was a visible sermon, a visible parable, if you will. Depend on me, look to my hand, trust in me, and every day I will provide you with your daily bread. So every day they woke up, and every single day, until they came to possess the land flowing with milk and honey. Every day, the Lord provided for the needs of his people. As we read earlier in Matthew 6, verse 23, the Father knows what you need. When we come to our God in this prayer, we are praying to a God who knows our needs, knowing that it is our God who is our Father. Should fill us with the confidence to come to him with boldness, because God can open the heavens, cause the rain to fall, and the grass to grow. When we look at one loaf of bread, think of what must take place for this loaf of bread to end up on your dinner table. Only God can give the farmer wisdom and strength to plant and to gather. Only God can cause the rain and the sunshine. Only God can cause the earth to nurture this root so that this plant produces its fruit. And then we have the baker who takes that seed and crushes it, adds other ingredients, prepares it and bakes it, giving it to the trucker to ship it, bringing it to the grocer to sell it, to put it in the grocery store where we can find it, where we can have the income from God to have the money to go to that grocery store and then purchase it. When you think of the amount of effort that goes into providing just one loaf of bread, what man could do this? You see, God and God alone can give this bread, but also bless that bread so that it is a benefit to our body. But as we say, as we read from Matthew 6, verse 32, it says, your Father knows that you need these things. Your Father knows what you need. Your Father knows because he made you, didn't he? Your Father knows what you need better than you do yourself, because he formed you, he fashioned you, he knit you together in your mother's womb. He fashioned you like a master potter working on his wheel. Psalm 55, verse 22 says this, cast your cares on the Lord, and he will sustain you. James chapter 1, every good and perfect gift comes from the Father of lights. Or Psalm 145, verse 15, the eyes of all look to him, and you give them their food in due season. As children, we can come to our Father with this confidence, knowing that our Father knows what we need and will give us what we need. What we need. That's what the Catechism says, right? What we need. Everything necessary. There is a certain restraint in this prayer. Give us today our daily bread is praying for the things necessary for our body so that we can have the strength to do what God has called us to do, strength to do the work, to serve fellow man, strength to bring praise and glory to our God. But it's what we need. What we need. Sometimes in our prayers, we don't get what we want because we are praying for what we want and not what we need. And sometimes we don't get the things that we want because we're praying wrongly. We're praying for the things that we want to spend it on our own sinful cravings and desires. But Christ teaches us in this prayer, give us this day, pray for your daily bread. This day, day by day. Like the Israelites in the wilderness, we need to learn to pray for this day. That's kind of hard to do, isn't it, when you go home. I don't know if you eat before or after church, but you go home. Our family eats after church. You open the fridge. You have your leftovers. We celebrated Thanksgiving yesterday. The fridge is stuffed with leftovers. You open the freezer. You got your frozen pizzas there. You open the cupboard. You got your bread there. We're supposed to pray, give us this day. I mean, I got enough food for a week here. Yet there's a restraint that Christ is teaching us, isn't there? Give us this day what we need for this day. Give us the things necessary, and then benefit them, apply them to us, bless them unto us, so that today I have the strength to do what you call me to do this day. Don't trust in your full fridge and overflowing cupboards. Come to me, the Lord says, like the Israelites, every day. Give us this day what we need for this day. Coming as children. I know this is kind of something we covered earlier, but when we are praying to our Father, we are praying to our Father who is our Father because of Jesus Christ. Because of Jesus Christ who taught us to pray. Because of Jesus Christ who continues to intercede for us. Because of Jesus Christ who continues to pour out blessings upon us, giving us his grace and his Spirit. If we are children of a heavenly Father, will the heavenly Father allow his children to not have what they need? If Jesus is the King of Kings and we are his bride, is it possible that Jesus, to whom all authority and all power has been given, that Jesus would look at his bride and say and see that his bride doesn't have food or his bride doesn't have clothing? Surely not. Would the Father allow his children not to have food? Would Jesus, the groom, not provide for his bride? So we pray with confidence. Give us this day our daily bread. And one other brief point before we move to our last point. We live in an entitled society. We live in a world where there people have this sense of entitlement, where they think they deserve everything. They deserve everything that their parents have. They deserve everything that is given to them. But as children, we come acknowledging that we don't deserve anything. We don't deserve anything, but we pray to our Father with a heart of faith, praying, give me neither poverty nor riches, only feed me with the food that is necessary, Proverbs 30. Psalm 145, the Lord opens his hands and satisfies the desire of every living thing. God answers this prayer, but he also answers it covenantally. Give us this day our daily bread means that Christ sometimes sees fit to provide extra to one part of his body to supply the need in another part of the body. We should pray, learn to pray this communally. Not just as my family, make sure my family has enough. But in praying this prayer, Christ is also saying, make sure you're looking at the other members of the church, looking at other sister churches. Do they have needs? Has God given us plenty more so that we can meet the needs of others and so that they have their daily bread too? That's how we pray this prayer together as a community, as a covenant body of Christ. Well, then we come to the consequences. Since we understand that God is completely reliable, he is trustworthy, because he is our loving Father, we will come to him, as question and answer 125 says, with confidence. Help me to trust in you alone. Question and answer 125 concludes, trust in you alone. Someday I'd like to go out west and visit Old Faithful in Yellowstone. You know why they call it Old Faithful? Because you can pretty much set your watch. Every 60 to 100 minutes, there's this complicated scale to figure out when it's going to erupt. But Old Faithful geyser is pretty reliable. It's dependable. So they call it Old Faithful. You can go there, wait a while, and sure enough, it goes off. Well, we have a God who is more faithful than any geyser. Because even the geysers can be disrupted by tectonic movement and vibrations and earthquakes. But we have a God who is the definition of faithful. He is the faithful one. So we can learn to depend on him alone. Nothing can stop or hinder his will. For we are his children, the sheep of his pasture. We can come to him with confidence and complete dependence. Now, the opposite of this is doubt. Doubt leads to anxiety, worrying, and fret. The anxious heart says, will I lose my job? Will my fridge hold out? Will I get sick? Will my retirement savings be enough? The anxious man makes up his contingency plans, heaping up riches for what might be. But as Jesus said in Matthew 6, the world worries after these things. The pagans run after them. That's not the condition. That's not the attitude. That's not the action of confident children. Confident children are able to go to bed at night and say, My king is still on the throne. My father is still in heaven. I know that I don't know the future, but he does. And I can put my anxious worries to bed because God is God and he loves me. That's getting at the heart of comfort. Catechism starts with, it's really a book of comfort. Your only comfort in life and in death, you're not your own. You belong to someone. And the person who owns you will take care of you because you are his. So our application to this point, this petition, is a humble confidence, a dependence, a trust, but also a generosity. For if we freely receive, we'll also freely give. To conclude, our Father knows our needs. So we come to our Father praying for what we need because he is pleased to hear and answer our prayers. This food that we receive each day is a gift purchased for us by our elder brother, Jesus Christ. You see, Jesus suffered want so that we would have our needs fulfilled. Jesus died naked and hungry so that we could be clothed and fed. But even praying for our daily bread, we are reminded of something greater, something higher. Daily bread reminds us of a spiritual bread, a heavenly bread. His body is real food, spiritual food, that we might be fed unto eternal life. This truth sets us free from our worry, from our anxiety, from seeking after the things of this world. By this prayer, we can eat and drink to the glory of God. Why not trust man? Because many are the plans in the mind of man, and if your plans are like mine, they often don't work out. If we depended on our plans, boy, we would be in a mess. But we have a God whose plans are always carried out. As Proverbs says, many are the plans in the mind of man, but the purposes of the Lord, those endure. Those are carried out. So when we pray, give us this day our daily bread, pray it with the humble confidence of children who know that there is a heavenly Father who will feed and provide for his children, who knows there is a heavenly groom who will feed and nourish his bride, the church. Give us this day our daily bread. Amen. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for giving us this petition, reminding us that you hold all things in your hand. We thank you for giving us this petition, reminding us that we don't hold all things in our hands, that we can't provide even the daily necessities. But we thank you, Lord, for knowing what we need and promising to provide our needs. Give us hearts that trust and look to you alone. We thank you for sending Jesus, who purchased not only our daily bread, but is our spiritual bread, feeding us unto eternal life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.